Writing for Rolling Stone magazine, journalist Matt Taibbi recently declared, at the conclusion of a 4,800-word article about the presidential campaign, "America is ceasing to be a nation and turning into a giant television show." America is turning into a giant television show. Whatever your politics, you likely have a source for news that you think is a good source for news. And correspondingly, you can likely name some news sources that you believe to be unreliable, biased, inaccurate, operating with an agenda. The reality, I think, and I am not by nature a cynical person, but the reality is that almost all of our news sources these days are deeply, deeply flawed and unreliable communicators of what is real and true. With the advent of the internet and the creation of social media, we are in the middle of a media and communications revolution that is as dramatic as the invention of the printing press over 500 years ago. Everything is changing, and this change is impacting everything. This dramatic revolutionary change can be captured in a sentence as simple as this. I quoted Matt Taibbi just a minute ago, and I read his article in Rolling Stone, and so can you, without paying a penny. So how does Rolling Stone and Matt Taibbi make the money that allows them to continue reporting, and reporting accurately? This is the big question for all news sources right now. I have not paid a penny to any news source for at least a decade. Before the internet, I might have paid a quarter a day for a newspaper. That amounts to a little over $90 a year. That's not a lot, but when you multiply it by millions of people, it's a lot of money. Newspapers are going out of business. Magazines are going out of business. Even internet-based news sources are going out of business. Newspapers and magazines and internet news sites that are not going out of business are working as fast as they can to find new business models that will allow them to survive. News media are also cutting back on staff and cutting corners on reporting. And in a desperate effort to attract and hold the attention of readers, because they need to deliver consumers to their advertisers, in that desperate effort, they write sensational headlines and articles designed to attract us and alarm us. It's like we're wandering through a carnival with barkers shouting at us, saying anything, almost anything, to draw our attention to their attraction. So rather than reporting news with context and accuracy, our news media are now highly motivated to do anything to get us to read their articles. America is turning into a giant television show. With our news media only responding to the most dramatic and scandalous of events, people who want to be in the news are motivated to make dramatic and scandalous statements and to take dramatic and scandalous actions. Statistician and author Nate Silver calls this the perpetual attention machine. I can't tell you the name of the Matt Taibbi article I'm quoting from, because the headline is scurrilous to one political party. And as a religious organization, we can take positions on issues, but not political parties or candidates. I need to be careful what I say. The entire article, although thought-provoking, is also barbed and sarcastic. I'm calling it journalism, but it's loaded with commentary and bias. It's kind of deliciously entertaining if you agree with the author. It's designed to get attention, like the headline, "I Can't Tell You." Who's been bringing attention to this media crisis for many years now is comedian and media critic Jon Stewart. He has been able to do so because he is not part of the news media that is in revolution and crisis. And although he is known as a political liberal, his critique of news media has always extended far outside political lines. He summarizes our situation thusly: the bias of the mainstream media is towards sensationalism, conflict, and laziness. Reflecting on a recent reporting error, New York Times editor Margaret Sullivan admitted, "Competitive pressure and the desire for a scoop led to too much speed and not enough caution." Why am I talking about this morning? Because we are covenanted to affirm and promote the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process in society at large, as well as the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. These are our fifth and sixth principles, and as Unitarian Universalists, they call us to be informed citizens. And we are, most of us, or we're working on it. What I'm calling attention to is that our work to be informed citizens is as difficult or more as it has ever been, because the news we get is designed to keep us alarmed or afraid or both. And more than anything, it's designed to keep us reading, critiquing, analyzing, glued to our computers or our televisions or our living room chairs. America is turning into a giant television show. I worry that America is turning into a television show that we watch instead of a community that we participate in. As part of the media revolution, local news sources are disappearing. Good luck finding out what happened at your local city council meeting if you don't live in a large urban area. Most of us know more about what's happening in national politics than we do our local politics. Most of us know where and when the latest tragic shooting occurred, but we don't know statistics regarding the activity of our local police. What is the racial breakdown of traffic stops compared to the racial demographic of our local area? How many of those stops are discretionary? What is the racial breakdown of vehicle searches, etc.? Most of us know more about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump than we do about Sam Abed, Steve Voss, and Kevin Faulkner, the mayors of Escondido, Poway, and San Diego. Do you know who your state senate and assembly representatives are? I know some of you do, maybe all of you do. I'm not chastising anyone who doesn't. I actually wouldn't know my state senator if he were sitting in the front row today, although I did go ahead and connect to him on Facebook yesterday while I was writing this sermon. So maybe that will help me. My point is that it's hard to know this information these days, hard to keep it at the forefront of all the information coming at us. We're bombarded by news and information from around the world, whatever is the most awful or tragic or disturbing. The carnival barkers don't really have any interest in keeping us informed. They're just trying to grab our attention. So We're overwhelmed by news and information that's designed to keep us alarmed, fearful, angry, or otherwise agitated. And we know more about what's happening in other places than we do much of the time in our own neighborhoods. This week, many of us read or even watched the shooting in Virginia. And we are concerned in these moments about gun control laws, but there aren't any local protests or activities around gun control. If you read up about it, you'll find that California gun laws are among the most restrictive in the United States. And we're left with the sense, again, that there is so much wrong in the world, but it is so unclear what any of us here can do about it. We read on Facebook or somewhere else on the internet about Black Lives Matter protests, and that seems important, and maybe we occasionally search our local news to see if there's anything happening nearby that we could join in, but there's not. And our lives are full and hurried, and we are often rushing from one thing to the next, trying to get it all done before the next thing that needs to get done. And walking through the parking lot at North County Fair, you notice a car with a Confederate flag in the back window. If you're like me, a white person with a full to-do list, you barely register that Confederate flag. You give a little shudder, not my kind of person, and move on. Maybe you mention it at dinner that night. I saw a car with a Confederate flag on the window. I'm surprised to see that here. Here's what Unitarian Universalist minister Erica Hewitt did when she saw a Confederate flag in a car window where she lives in Bath, Maine. She left a note on the car that read, "Your flag is a hurtful symbol. It's your right to display it, but when you do, please be aware how many people you're hurting." And because she's not as brave as she'd like to be, she admits, she signed it a white Bath resident instead of leaving her name. In sharing this story on Facebook, she noted, "I'm doing the best I can to be an interrupter, no matter how awkward I am at it." She's working on being an interrupter. She's not watching a television show. She's participating in community. It doesn't do us much good to worry about gun control or to want to participate in Black Lives Matter if we rush by our moments of opportunity to make a difference. It doesn't have to be a Confederate flag you see. It could be a conversation you overhear, or a coworker who says something unsavory, or a Facebook acquaintance who posts an article or quote that's hateful or ignorant. Or it could be your local neighborhood or city council taking action to demonize immigrants, or to mistreat the homeless, or to ignore the needs of transgender people. We have moments and windows of opportunity to interrupt the status quo and to help affect change, and I worry that we miss them. We are in danger of missing those moments because we are reading about shootings in Virginia and politics in Iowa instead of noticing what is happening here in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our cities. What I want to suggest this morning is that it is our work as Unitarian Universalists, affirming the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. It is our work to make ourselves ready, to take action when the moments of opportunity arise. We must be attentive for those moments and not hurry by. I can't tell you when they will happen or what you should do when they come. In times of revolution like ours, the paths we travel are not clear or well-worn. But we mustn't be so distracted by what we cannot change that we miss the chance to change what we can. Let's not be the adults who sit by while the teenagers take action. Let's not be the clerk who says, "Don't let it get to you," instead of, "I'm sorry." Let's not be so rushed and hurried that we don't even notice our moments of opportunity when they come along. Make ready to be the difference. Let's be interrupters in ways both big and small. Let's be discerning about the news we read, that we are more informed than we are entertained or manipulated. Ignore the carnival barkers. We don't need what they're selling. Gandhi said, "It's the action, not the fruit of the action, that's important. You have to do the right thing. It may not be in your power, may not be in your time that there'll be any fruit, but that doesn't mean you stop doing the right thing. This is our work to do together. This is what we're here for. We have windows of opportunity before us. Make ready. We can do it.